Part 1, self-evaluation and collaborative inquiry processes. The overarching premise that sits behind self-evaluation, self-reflection and collaborative inquiry processes into what teachers do in the classroom is that the quality of any education system can never exceed the quality of its teachers and or their teaching. Now, I genuinely believe that. I think it's easy to put that forward as a soundbite at education conferences where we have high-paid consultant authors who regularly espouse this message, but I genuinely believe in the fundamental messages that sit behind this, and I kind of want to talk a little bit about aspects of what we do in my current school which may lend itself as evidence to support both the how and the why we believe in this. I think it's really important that self-evaluation is not seen as a deficit model of what doesn't happen. It's not seen as an intervention or a reaction to a perceived concern or problem. Rather, it's there to create a culture that supports the development of a mindset towards wanting to self-reflect and evaluate on my teaching in order for me to discern what I believe are my development goals. Now, I don't think that's necessarily about constructing a stick to beat me or a metaphorical contribution to building a weapon of my own destruction. It's about an ethos, a culture, a values-led school leadership, whereby an introspective layer that fosters curiosity and inquiry into my own practice is seen as a key aspect of the school's development. After 24 years as a teacher, a middle leader and a senior leader, I leave the class and I ask myself, what was that lesson like? When the kids go home and they sit at the dining table with their parents after school and they were asked, what did you learn in psychology today that you didn't know yesterday? What did you cover previously that's helped you make sense of what you did today? Or indeed, how did what you did today make sense of what you covered previously? I want the responses to be positive. I want to ask the questions. Even if the responses are negative, I want to be able to be given the opportunity, the space, the time, the professional development, the readings, the evidence base, the research aware base, to be able to inquire as to what if the responses to those questions were negative. Now, a key government health warning for me here. Attribution errors and cognitive biases are very powerful players in this narrative. And we must be very mindful of how they influence both our own perceptions of our own teaching and indeed how many others may perceive the perceptions not just of my teaching, but consequently what development, what framework of professional development should be put in place in order for me to self-evaluate and reflect. And the I and the me is key in that narrative, irrespective of how wonderfully constructed performance management rubrics and criteria and referenced evaluation frameworks are. So, a brief overview of how we connect the dots in the narrative in the context of my school in terms of self-evaluation and teacher development. Key point here is to say that each of the dots in isolation would have a minimal impact. And it's very much the sum of the whole approach. And I just want to try and summarise some of the key dots and how we connect these dots in order to make self-evaluation something which actually has meaning beyond both a carrot and a stick hypothesis. So, one of the key things that we've looked at this year has been we've redrawn and reframed our teacher learning community focus. Previously, we had been looking at the overarching strategies and techniques of EIFL, and we decided this year that we wanted to focus on lesson study. It's a superb process of collaborative inquiry, and you'll probably see from Twitter and from a growing literature base, that it has is gaining more traction in schools. Although it's not the main focus of this post, because it's only one dot, it is, in essence, a key aspect of our self-evaluation and our self-improvement, because we have set up tripods of staffs working together in order to investigate key learning challenges. And through pre, post-lesson dialogue and lesson observations, feedback on how the learning challenges, student behaviour, the impact on teacher behaviour, how these have been reframed by being able to talk to a colleague in a way that views observations not as an inspectorial grading of what I do over 30 minutes, but as a process. We've created capture documents, we've created reading, when I say created readings, what I mean is staff have been given access to key literature around lesson study. They've been given time to read it, to summarise what their own thoughts of that are and reflect these back in meetings. We brought the brilliant Phil Wood up to deliver CPD around lesson study, and we were bringing him back up again because we're at the process after cycles 1 and 2 where we're now starting to capture some of the evidence of the process, and we want to use that before we then look at cycles 3 and 4. At the moment, we've looked at departments doing this in a silo model. So 3 members of the English department, 3 members of the humanities department, social subjects, 3 members of math, and 3 members of science. We are discussing at the moment whether or not we want to go cross-curricular for cycles 3 and 4 and look at whether or not we want to have, for example, 2 members of one department, 1 member of another department. It's an ongoing discussion, and I can see merits in both, actually, if I'm honest. So we may try and have 2 kind of parallel models going on, if that's not overly ambitious. Second part we've looked at is our learning and teaching group. We have 4 subgroups of inquiry, looking at feedback, expectations, homework, and pedagogy and cognitive psychology. And that's one that I'm going to focus on that one in the time that I have left here. So we've given out readings which have related to the work of Bjork, Daniel Willingham, Alan Badley in working memory. And we've given again staff, 6 members of staff, 4 subgroups, so 24 members of staff on board with this, in addition to the 12 members of staff on board with the teacher learning community and lesson study focus. And we've looked at how do we operationalise working memory? From what we know from Willingham and Badley and Bjork, about how we learn, how we encode, how we retrieve, how do we operationalise that at a practical level so that what we do in the classroom has a research base? And we connect all of this with Blog Friday. Blog Friday every week we send out an article, a link to a blog. And basically what it does is connect lesson study, connects learning and teaching subgroups so that the whole staff has an awareness of this. So for example, we give one recently on why are we doing lesson study? What does a growth mindset mean? What does behavioural genetics tell us about the narrative of closing attainment gaps? And it's not just a passive overview of knowledge. It's not just us giving this information out, because we create a Google Doc and all staff are invited to write responses to the blog, both negative and positive. And then we can use that to inform future TLC and learning and teaching meeting agendas in part. What that gives us, it goes beyond giving us evidence if HMIE or Ofsted walk through the door and ask how often are you talking about learning and teaching, because learning and teaching becomes the core, not the periphery of what we do. Part 2, we'll look at some of the other dots in this narrative and how they help to reinforce and strengthen what we do in learning, the learning and teaching group and the teacher learning community. And it's about narrative, it's about asking questions that are an integral part of our trust and respect within a narrative of a teacher as a professional, not necessarily an inspectorial, what is it you are doing this week? Part 2 coming soon.